It's an awful long drive just to sing one song, Amy Presley. I'd like to ask if you would to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Today I'm going to be reading now the New International Version. Normally I read out of Holman Christian Standard, but sometimes the wording of that just doesn't get to the point or the familiarity that we're accustomed to. So today I'm going to be reading out the New International Version. If you have that, that'd be great. Philippians 3 and verse 7. Okay, everybody doing all right? Your football wounds are healed. Your baseball aspirations are still uncompleted. Yeah. Hush up, preacher, and read the Word of God, all right? So here we go. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. In the little less than 3 years I've served as your pastor, I have mentioned from time to time about the nature of our relationship with God. I believe that a lot of people in our world today do not understand, if they have any religious interest at all, they do not understand that when Christians talk about their faith, we are talking about a personal relationship with a living Lord that requires a deep, passionate response from us. So when I'm talking about a relationship with God, I'm not talking about, well, yes, I go to church, or yes, I read my Bible, or I pray regularly. When I'm talking about a relationship with God, I'm talking about something that is deep and abiding and personal. I remember many times in a town that I pastored in Illinois, Waterloo, Illinois, we had many people from some other denominations that would join us in our church. And when they would hear that phrase, personal relationship, and we explained what it meant to know the Lord in that kind of way, many of them would say, I have been in church all my life and I have never heard that. To me, that was sad. This particular passage of Scripture is a part of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. And to me, it is one of the most amazing patches of Scripture in all the New Testament. In it, the Apostle Paul goes deeper in what he means about his relationship with Christ than just about any other passage that he writes in the New Testament. And he did write a whole lot of the New Testament in his letters, and so that is saying something. Every time I read Philippians chapter 3, I am challenged by what I read there, and sometimes it overwhelms me. Now, through the years, I've been intrigued by the truth that is taught, but also frightened by its content and its meaning. Seriously, if I were to take these as genuine words of God to me and I apply them to my life, what Paul says there about counting everything that he has amassed and attained as rubbish compared to knowing Christ, if I apply that to my life, I think it will require a radical lifestyle on the behalf of a believer. And God's response to that kind of commitment can be powerful and terrifying. I hope I have you shaking in your boots. This is an awesome passage if we take it seriously. So much so that over the next few weeks, I'm going to preach it phrase by phrase. Aren't you glad?
Amen. Yeah.
And we will look closely at verses 10 and 11. And so I want to declare to you the first phrase we're going to look at right up front is this. and think about how awesome these words really are. I want to know Christ. Now, to begin focusing our thinking a little bit this morning, I want you to think about the tragedy of a person undergoing surgery for the amputation of a leg or the removal of a diseased eye or perhaps an infected kidney from the body. Could you imagine the heartache and the catastrophe and the pain that would occur if the surgeon, by mistake, accidentally removed the healthy corresponding body part rather than the diseased body part? We have heard in the news of this occurring from time to time, and it is a tragic event in the life of those people involved. Or maybe a little deeper, think with me perhaps about the time wasted by a college student who is pursuing an avenue of training only to discover at graduation that they have taken the wrong classes and they will not be able to complete the degree. I spoke to one of our college students just recently about that very thing, about how this semester and this year they are drastically having to change their schedule to make up for what an advisor did not tell them they needed. Or what about the businesswoman going through all the flight arrangements to arrive in Tokyo just to find out that the meeting was scheduled for Paris? That could cause some consternation, could it not? And now let's get even deeper. An even more eternally profound catastrophe would be to live your whole life as a Christian and reach the end discovering that you have never realized the purpose which God intended for you. Wouldn't that be sad? I know that in my life I do not want to get to the upper levels of age, 80 or 90, or to live to be 108 like I've always dreamed, and then look back and say, I completely missed what God intended for me to do with my life. How sad that would be, because there is no second chance at that point. And that's why I think it is so imperative that we understand what Paul means when he declares, I want to know Christ. In the Holman Christian, it says, my goal is to know him. Now, I find that a rather shocking statement, because didn't Paul know Christ? I mean, he was persecuted, saved, called to ministry, wrestled in prayer, empowered, directed, and comforted. If anybody supposedly knew Christ, wouldn't it be the Apostle Paul? But think with me, he had no Bible, he had no devotional guide, no Sunday school quarterly. Of all the people we read about in the Bible, surely Paul would definitely, we would say, knew Jesus. But he had none of the tools that you and I have at our disposal to strengthen our relationship with Christ. And yet, he seemed to know him in ways that escape us. I am confounded that in our generation, we have every tool available to us to grow in Christ. And yet, many of us are so weak in the Lord that we do not understand what Paul means when he says, I want to know Christ. We have replaced the trappings of knowing Christ for genuinely knowing Christ. Are you all still with me? Because I got some more sermon. I want to make sure that I haven't totally run you out of the room yet. Do you not think it is true that sometimes we've replaced the rituals of faith with genuine faith? Perhaps we are passionate about knowing Christ but miss the real meaning. So let's look at those words. I want to know Christ. The word that is translated know in those verses is the Greek word kenosko. It signifies taking in knowledge, coming to know something, recognizing, understanding, but it means this, to understand completely. It is more than just head knowledge or scientifically knowing something or intellectual understanding. Those are ways to know certain things, but kenosko is something different. In the New Testament, that word indicates a relationship between the person knowing and the object that is known. It is more than just knowing about a person. It emphasizes what is known is of such great value and importance to the one that knows, that it focuses on a personal experience and establishes a relationship. It is as if you have to be so involved in the thing you're trying to get to know that you almost lose any separation between the two. The way that we say it, I guess you say it here in Mississippi the same way that I'm used to. We might say, I know that like the back of my hand. Anybody ever use that phrase? What we mean by that, it is so personal to us, the connection is so strong, that it is obvious that we know it very well, just like we know the back of our hand. Gnosko kind of knowing is significant because, you know what, we can't know everything at that level. There are, in my mind, there are a lot of people's phone numbers. I even remember the very first phone number that was assigned to us in our home when I was a kid, 618-538-5831. But I can't remember some of your phone numbers, okay? We can't get all that stuff packed into our brain. We can't know everything at the same level. But gnosko indicates a knowing that is a connection or union between the two parties. It's not merely intellectual activity. It is an understanding that comes only for the Christian through the operation of the Holy Spirit once we have accepted Christ as our Savior. It means we are aware of, we feel with, we perceive, and we are sure of. We understand the one that is known. I want to know Christ. But that word is also always in the current tense, the present tense. It indicates that it is a continuing process. Once a person thinks, I know Christ, instantly you are found convicted that you forget that Christ is living and He is moving and He is guiding us forward and we must know Him even more. The one that we know is always moving. Our knowledge of them is always progressing and expanding. Let me see if I can take some scriptures that will help expand what I am trying to say or widen our thinking about this meaning. In John 10, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. The word that is used there is the Greek word gnosko. It means to know intimately. Don't miss these verses or these words. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus knows us, and we can know Him, just like the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. I want to know Christ like that. 1 Corinthians 8:3, Paul teaches this, but if anyone loves God, he is known by Him. And the word is gnosko. It means relationship. If a person loves God, God knows him. Now, even in the Christmas story that we'll look at in several weeks ahead, speaking of Mary and Joseph, the scriptures land on that very word gnosko again. In Luke 1:34, do you remember that interchange between Mary and Gabriel? Where Mary asked Gabriel, how can this be since I do not, what? Know a man? That is gnosko. After Gabriel visits Joseph and agrees to take Mary as his wife, the scripture concludes in Matthew 1:25, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Intimacy, depth of knowledge. I want to know Christ, Paul says, and he's talking about a deep knowing. To know Christ speaks of a personal faith union between the Christian and the believer. The Christian and the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. To know Christ is to know Him in a life-shaping, life-changing, life-transforming way. I don't want to get too far off track, but for a person to say, I know Christ, and their life does not change, I don't believe them. For a person to say, I know Christ, and they still have the same old habits and attitude and bad thought patterns they've always had, they have not known Christ like Scripture talks about knowing Christ. Because to know Him changes us, it shapes us, it transforms us. In examining my own personal pilgrimage of faith, as I looked at my own life and how I have known about the Lord, I have known Him in different ways. When I was very young, my first remembrance was knowing Jesus as someone who was unique. In Sunday school, I was taught that He was the Son of God, that He was divine, and He was the one we worship. I came later to know Him as Savior, and I knew He represented the essence of God, that He died for me and He offered me forgiveness. As I began to grow even more in my knowing about Jesus, it was clear to me that I knew Him as Lord. And maybe there I began to make the shift from knowing about to begin to really knowing Him, because I experienced the Lord as one that was worthy of my worship, who calls me into ministry and He directs my service in my life. I have also known the Lord as friend. He has been a companion to me that cares for me and brings comfort to me and provides counseling. And I am definitely sure at this point in my life that I know Christ more than just as an historical figure. I have learned, at least at some level, to know Him in Gnosko. Now, I have read books about Abraham Lincoln. He's always been an intriguing figure for me. I have studied the works of his careers, considered many things that he wrote and said. He's often misquoted. I have watched movies about Lincoln and documentaries about Lincoln, and I would say that I know him, but I don't gnosko him. I know lots about him, but I don't know how Lincoln felt. I don't know how he chose his friends. I don't know how he made his decisions and why he did so, why he treated his wife and children the way he did, and how he would choose his confidants. I do not really know Mr. Abraham Lincoln. I know about him. And it saddens me that I think many Christians are that very same way with God. They know lots of things about God, but they do not really know Him. And I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying we spend our lives learning about God, and we never gnosko Him. We never know Him. One of the truths that I learned as a young man that came out of my study of the book Experiencing God was this truth. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. In John 14:21, the Bible says, "The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him." Jesus does not reveal himself to just anybody. I mean, he may let them know he is Savior and Lord and bring them to an experience of salvation, but beyond that, Jesus is not going to let a person know the deeper things about that relationship if they do not love him and obey his commands. I'm not talking about some fancy new program or some hidden method or some formula that only the elite know. I'm talking about knowing Christ in a relationship of love. And everything in your life depends upon this one relationship being in order. Because our natural tendency as Christians is to research things about God or to do things for God, when everything about the relationship with Jesus is not about what we learn or what we do, but what we are becoming in God. And a person who does not have any inclination of experiencing that in their life will not even understand what I mean by that. But to learn more about God or to bring up all the energy and effort you can muster and do great things for God is not the same as knowing Him. Gnosko is to receive and develop a personal and dynamic relationship with Him. And nothing could be sadder than for a person to invest their life in Bible study to learn about God, to spend their life's energy doing things for God, and then, in the end, miss the connection with the very God they say that they love, because they have not taken the time to know Him. Gnosko involves a personal faith. It's a life-shaping relationship. It is to know with such intimacy this Lord we say we love, that we are as united with Him as we would be with the people in our very lives here on earth that we share life experiences with. Do you know the Lord? Like Paul says, I want to know Christ. So maybe you're asking me, well then, you've got me convinced, but how can I know Christ? Well, if I could check it off in, you know, five easy steps, that would be great. Then you could all just kind of meet with me one-on-one, and I'd say, well, you're in step two, and here's how you move to step three. But it's not quite that easy. Any more than someone, a husband comes to me and says, I'm having trouble with my wife and our relationship. Can you help me to know her better? Well, maybe. I might give you some clues, but it's going to be you living in the trenches of relationship. And it's the very same thing with knowing God. But knowing Christ, like Paul talks about, starts with salvation. Because you will never understand the things of the Spirit, the deeper things of the spiritual life with Christ, if you have a carnal mind. You must experience new life. So if you're in this room today and you never really have had the experience of salvation, I can tell you, you will never know Christ the way Paul says we must know Christ. You must be saved. You must enter into a relationship where you say, I cannot provide for my own salvation and forgiveness. I desperately need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. A second thing means that you will involve yourself in spending time with Him in communion and close connection. If you want to know Christ, it's not just, well, I go to church every Sunday morning. What's the big deal? I know Christ. Well, if you're not spending communion time with Him or close connection time with Him, you will not know Him. That's not any different than if we come home from work and our wife comes home from work and we sit in the living room and we watch the news and we watch Wheel of Fortune and then we watch some kind of movie and we're in the same room together and we're watching the same things together and we're doing the same stuff, but we don't really know each other because it's not close connection. Knowing Christ demands that we devote energy to it, to be engaged in a relationship with purpose. Two or three, all right, four or five times a day, I say to myself, you need to lose some weight. You need to be in better physical condition. And tomorrow I will. I'm not serious about it yet because I will not devote the energy that's necessary to get it done. Don't tell me that you want to know Christ, but you're not putting in the time and energy that it takes to be engaged in a relationship with purpose. Am I communicating? Are you with me? A fourth thing that I realize about this relationship is that knowing Christ requires that we be changeable. To grow, to mature. I like to think sometimes that if I don't have it all together, I got most of it together. And I have to realize sometimes that in my relationship with Christ, there are some moments when He reveals to me, I barely got anything together. People come to me for advice and ask my opinion about things. And I like to share it even if they don't ask occasionally. Hello? But to know Christ means this. Kevin, you must always be ready to be changed by Him. You must always realize that you are continually growing in knowing Him. You are maturing in your faith. That's why it saddens me to know people who have been Christians for 30 or 40 years, and the way that they present themselves or demonstrate their life shows me that they do not really know Christ. Because if they had allowed Him to change them and grow them and mature them, they would not have the same responses they have at times. They would not demonstrate the same attitudes and characteristics they do. And I wonder, what were you doing in the last 30 years when others were letting Jesus shape them and grow them? And finally, what I have come to learn is that knowing Christ means asking Him to participate in what He is doing, being partners with Him in His work. If you want to know Christ, you've got to work alongside of Him. If you want to know a person, you can sit next to a man in your Sunday school class or to a lady in your Bible study, and you think you really know them, and maybe you do at a certain level. But you start, ladies, sewing a quilt together, and you will discover who you really are with. You go out and try to put a car engine back together with another man, and guys, you will discover something about that man you've never known before. You work in partnership with God in the things of ministry and service and the life of what it means to be in a church, and you will learn about Christ things that you never dreamed possible. So do you see why this is frightening and overwhelming to me? I don't know if I'm conveying it very well, but when Paul says, I want to know Christ, he doesn't mean, I would just like to have a high religious experience. He doesn't mean, I want to be a church person. Or, I want to know more about God's word than anybody else on the planet. Those things may be commendable at some level, but it doesn't guarantee that you know Christ. Not really know Him. Because to know Christ means every thought, every breath, every heartbeat is experienced in relationship with a living, glorious, and loving Savior. Now, when I read those words, I think there's probably people out there that think that pastor is just using some kind of fancy words to make us all fall in wonder. And I'm not. It has finally dawned on me somewhere in my life, years back perhaps, where I realize that as a Christian, I am not just trying to do the church thing. I'm not just trying to live a good life. I'm not trying to be better than those people out there that are still wrapped in sin. I am trying to know the living, glorious, powerful God of the universe. And I am not just trying to be a good man on earth. Do you share a passion like that? Because it will take all that you are and all your life to know Christ, and it will cost you dearly and change you deeply, but it is a goal that is worth every endeavor if you want to know Christ. Knowing Christ means the way people treat you will not matter as much because you have looked into the face of God. Knowing Christ means that the things that happen, the circumstances around you, will not impair you in your chance to live for Christ because you have spent time alone with a risen Savior. Everything in your life will begin to change when you are alone with the Lord, growing in Him and knowing Him. I'm going to confess to you that I have preached the four messages in this series two other times in my ministry. Most of the time, I don't preach warmed over sermons, but these have so captured me that I do. The first time I preached this series, I didn't know it at the time, but God was wanting me to get serious with Him, and He took me through a deep cleansing and purifying tribulation. I have only shared tidbits of that since I've been here, and most of you don't know anything about it except when I would say things like when Joyce and I were at the lowest point of our life. This is what I'm talking about. It changed my life, it changed my family, it changed my church, and my influence in the Southern Baptist denomination was changed as well. I don't long to go through that again, but I want to know Christ. The second time I preached this series, God led me into the most fulfilling period of my life and ministry up to that point. He allowed me to know and minister with and learn to love the Karen refugees from Myanmar. And to this day, it is probably one of the most tender points of my life with Christ that He allowed me and allows me to have the love and share love with those people. That was a result of God saying, I want you to know me even deeper. So I don't know what is ahead. You all may not come back for 3 months. But I'm telling you, as much as I tried to run from it and shake it off, I feel like God is compelling me to say, no, here it is again. I want you to know me in a way deeper than you've ever known me. And this was the third time in over 15 years that I've preached these four messages together. I'm almost scared to say it because of what it will mean for my life and for you if you will take it seriously. But here we go. Here are five words that could change your life. I want to know Christ. And I ask you today if you will pray and ask God to help you to commit yourself passionately to that kind of knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to tell you, I'm not really comfortable living my life out in front of people. But I do want to be obedient to what I think you're asking me to do. So if you're compelling me and asking me as a pastor to share these passages again, I think you want to do something in our life that we cannot imagine. Lord, I know it will not always be frightening or painful. It could be wonderful. But if we will get serious and say that we want to know Christ, deeply know Him, I know it will call us to a different lifestyle, a radical lifestyle. Lord, I don't present myself today as any better or any stronger or any further up the ladder than anybody else in this room. I just know that you are wanting to pour more of yourself into me. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not obligating you to do it. I'm just saying that you have stirred me once again to say that I want to know Christ in a way that I have yet to know Him. I know I will not be more saved. I will not be more loved by you. I may not even look a whole lot different to the people around me, but in the end, I will know you. Know you. I will know you. And in this room, I pray, Father, maybe there's a handful, maybe there's one or two, maybe there's several that will join me passionately saying, Lord, I know I'm saved, and I know lots of things about you. But I want to know you. I want to know you like Paul knew you. I want to know you like Moses knew you. I want to know you like the Apostle John knew you. I want to know you like Amos knew you and Elijah. Would you grant us that, or at least a taste of that? Because you are worthy of us devoting all of ourselves to knowing you and all of our lives to knowing you. And so I ask you again, if you will, let me know you. That's my prayer. Amen. Would you stand, please, as we sing?